You are listening to an exclusive interview here on Maximum Threshold. Maximum Threshold Radio Show airs every Saturday night from 8 to 11 p.m. exclusively at MaximumThreshold.net.
Hello, Fearless.
Yes.
Hey, this is Dominic with Maximum Threshold. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good, man. We catch you at a good time?
I'm sorry, say again?
Did we catch you at a good time?
Yep.
Oh, cool, man. What's going on, man?
Not much. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good, man. We were playing your music here, and, man, it's some pretty good stuff, man. And everybody seems to really be digging it, so I'm trying to turn people on who haven't had a chance of listening to your music, so I'm turning people on to it.
Oh, okay, great.
So what's going on with you and the band?
Well, not much. I mean, right now we just doing, small gigs here and there. And in the meantime, we just, actually got rid of our practice space, so we're looking for a new one.
Oh, wow.
And we moving on, I guess, to find, explore more, do more stuff, do more shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know you guys played a bunch of shows like last year and stuff. What's the plans for this year coming up for the band?
Well, we haven't set up any plan yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's kind of funny, but we haven't said anything yet, but so far, there's one show coming, and we posted it on Facebook, and it should be in the city in New York soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the 3rd of February.
How is
And that's,
I'll go on.
Yeah, I mean, and that's it so far.
How's the reception for you guys, man? Since you guys came to the States here, how has it been?
It's all right. I mean, the good thing is that, we knew what we were coming to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, we didn't have that high expectation. You know what I mean? So, well, when we got here, so it's kind of like we were expecting this is what it's going to be. You know what I mean?
Is it, for a lot of people who have not watched the movie Heavy Metal in Baghdad, you want to give the people a little brief about the movie and over how long a time it took to put something like this together, and with you guys actually, coming to the States and starting fresh over here, you want to give people just a brief about it?
Yeah, sure. Well, the movie, it's about us, it's about the band, or it's not about the band.
Mm-hmm.
It became more, it's about the situation.
Yeah.
It's about refugee situation, actually. And, all the people that going through this process, because we started as a band and we turned to a refugee.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that we are back, as a band again now. And the whole documentary is just following us through going through, from Baghdad to moving on to Syria. After, of course, in Baghdad, our practice space got blown up, and we have like death threats and all that. So we had to move on, and we moved to Syria and trying to set up start practicing and playing there and all that, and going through all that process and not doing, very well.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to move on and, going through the visa situation in Syria and all that stuff. So we had to move on to Turkey, and then from Turkey, become a refugee and apply to UNHCR, and then moving to all, living in Turkey for about 2 or 3 years for some of us, and then going, meeting them local bands, playing there, and then also moving on from Turkey one by one to the States.
Yeah, man, you went through so much, man. Just for the love of music and just to pursue it, and watching that documentary, man, you kind of like lose track of, you know, the war and all that's going on over there, and we're trying to focus on the music itself, and it kind of takes you away, you know, being American and seeing that stuff going on over there. It kind of, for my part, it kind of took me out of the picture of the war thing, and being like a music lover, I focused on your music and yourself, so I didn't think about all the other crap that was going on in the background, because that's not the thing that interests me. It was the love for metal and to see all the shit that you guys went through just to play and to get people to listen to you, man. It's a lot, man, and I totally give you props for that.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, like, for us is, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why. Like, sometimes we sit and look and say, like, why are we doing it? You know what I mean? It's just like an addiction for us. You know what I mean? So we gotta, you know, like, we cannot stop it. We gotta play. We gotta perform. We gotta make music. We gotta, I mean, no matter what. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree with you on that.
We've been, you know, like, I mean, you know, like, we had our times here and there where each one of us, of the band members, was, you know, or having, like, some trouble and saying, like, oh, you know what, I should, you know, focus more on my life, focus on more on this and all on that. But in the end, you know, you would be like, yeah, you know what, I'll deal with my life later. Let's go back to the band.
That's it.
And that's how it goes. And this is like the day by day that we're like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Was there anything that didn't make it in the movie that you think people should, what you'd want them to know about?
I'm sorry, say again?
Was there something in the movie that didn't make it on there that you think would have been really cool for people to see?
Well, yeah. I mean, the movie's just a fracture of what's on the ground. This is just a little bit of what's going on. I mean, in there, what's going on with refugees, what's going on with the whole thing, and also what's going on with the band.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot. Like, there's a lot more. It's a life, you know. It's not like a little story that you can put on a book or a movie or whatever. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen the movie a good handful of times, and just to see you guys, you know, just when you guys try to get together and you guys try to play and you couldn't play, then it'd go on for times where it'd be like months to go by when you wasn't able to see each other, and then get back together and try to play, and it was kind of rough. When it's kind of normal, but seeing when all that happened and went through the whole process, and you came to the States here. How was it when you guys all got together and looked around at each other and said, hey, man, we're here? How was that vibe?
I mean, it was pretty cool, you know, and that's why. I mean, since we got to the States, you know, like, one by one, we were waiting for each other to you know, to come to the States so we can, you know, basically start again, you know. And once we got everybody here, we had to wait for, like, pretty much another year to get everybody settled and then move on to, you know, finding and practice space and, you know, like a record deal and all that stuff. And then practicing for the EP.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I actually became an EP, because we had a little, like, We wanted to put so much into it, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But we had a very little short time and doing it. So we had, like, to, you know, like, just put on, you know, those four songs, because people have been waiting for it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And we are waiting for it for years. So it's just like having a child born, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we put on this, you know, like, we practice, put on this EP, start doing local, you know, gigs. And then hopefully sometime we can start touring. I mean, we did a couple of shows in here and there in the States, like in Ohio and Atlanta and L.A. Mm-hmm. And but our basic shows, like mostly of our shows, are basically in the city in New York. It's between Manhattan, Brooklyn, and so on.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see you guys get picked up and, you know, get on a nice tour and run with it. Because I think you guys do really good. And I think, you know, as long as you're running a good package deal with a good band, I think your music could really take off, man. Because you guys got it there. And, you know, hearing you guys in the studio and you guys put together a real good EP there. And it sounds really good. And so you know that you guys have there's a lot of talent there.
I mean, and also you got to give it up for the people that worked on the EP. And that's definitely, you know, we got a great people that worked with us on the EP. And that actually, you know, like, I mean, since we got to the States, we've been going through a lot of pretty much, you know, like, great people. We met, like, and the metal community by itself is just crazy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, when we got here, you know, like, before actually we get here, we met Alex Connick's Testament when we were in Turkey.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy was so great, and he was like, you know what, I mean, you guys make it to the States, you know, we will work something out, we will help you out. And that was great. And, you know, we got to the States, we met Vitalik.
That's cool.
And they gave us, like, the whole time in the world just to listen to us and talk to us. And basically we felt like, you know, we were friends, like, you know, like we're born in the same block, you know, like same hood, and then we grew up together, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And this is so great, too. And then from there, you know, like, when we did our EP, Alex Goings from Testament, then he produces it. And then we got some great other great people. The guy that did the, I guess, the sound mastering for Lamb of God, Josh, he did the sound work on it. And then we got the recording, the guy that was behind the mixer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, like, we had a great crew, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It definitely sounds like it. I mean, you got some great people, man. Anything with Alex involved with it, man, you know it's going to be good, man. Because he's just phenomenal all around.
Yeah, he's awesome. And, you know, like, this is the thing, you know, like, now we're talking about them that, like, we know them forever.
Yeah.
And we just knew them, you know, like, 1-2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It all that is just because of the, you know, like, the community, the great spirit they have.
Yeah.
The metal spirit they have, you know what I mean?
That's how it is. That's how it is with music. Like being on a show here and with us talking with the artists and stuff like that, we build that rapport with everybody, and it actually feels like, you know, we kind of like know each other, because we're working with them, we're helping them out, and that's what friends do, and that's one of the things that we have. That's why we have our show here, so we can help out things that we love and the artists that we love, and that's what we do.
Yeah, it's all, you know, just like you said, it's all for the love of music. And this is the great thing about music, you know, other stuff just, you know, like, people fight even in football games, but
yeah,
for the music they would not do. Well, they mosh pit, but, well, I wouldn't call that a fight anyway.
They got a question in the chat room. This is coming from Jeff Kiss. He wants to know if you guys can be on any tour with any band, which one would it be and why?
Which one would it be and why? Well, for each one of us, there is like a list of 100 bands that we want to be on stage with. But, I mean, you know, I mean, being with the legends, you know, I mean, personally, that would be my list.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, I don't have to play with them, but just meeting them, that would be pretty cool, you know, like, people like, I don't know, like Ozzy, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm, you know, like, my dreams are so high, but that's the way, you know, like, playing with Slayer.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen them live in the show, but if playing with them, that would be a different, whole, total different story, you know. Like being on tour with Slayer or you know, being on tour with Metallica or even being on tour with Testament.
Yeah.
That'd be really, really, really great. You know, like, these are the bands that we look up to, so. And we have, you know, like, just like I said, there's like a list of 100 name of different bands and that we would love to go on a tour with them, you know, just for the hell of it. I mean, you know, sit and hang out and talk to them. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. I got one of the bands in a chat room there, Octane Mob. They said, oh, if you ever come to L.A., they would like to have you guys play on one of the sets with them.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. I mean, basically here, you know, like all the shows that we do like co-op shows. I mean, we have like 2 or 3, 4 bands, you know, playing with us on the same venue. And this is a, you know, like, this is a pretty cool thing, you know. And hopefully, you know, like, hopefully we get it. I mean, right now we have, you know, like, we have a new management going on, and we're looking for, you know, like, another deal and stuff. And hopefully that we get a real thing going on, you know. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, like, it's kind of like we, you know, like, since we got here, we didn't know what to do, and we took what wasn't in front of us, and we weren't looking for stuff, you know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
But kind of like now, I guess it's time to, you know, like, move on and start looking for the, you know, like, for the right way or the right people to get you going as a band, and I guess that's, you know what I mean? And that's what we're doing right now. We kind of like, you know, trying to move on and then set up like gigs to hopefully be lucky enough to, you know, like, be booked on a tour or something, and then work it out from there.
Sounds good. Let's see here. Here's a question here. This is coming from Uchi in the chat room. He wanted to know, have you guys ever had anything really bad happen to you guys on stage, or did you have a bad reception from the audience?
Well, I can't really say that because, I mean, you know, like, sometimes people do not even have to be fully, you know, like, reactive to you and headbang and all that, but you still feel a little vibe coming from them. But of course, as every band, you know, we had these moments where we felt like, it's not like we are not welcome, but we are not understood, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, some people would, like, especially the first time, you know, like, first time listeners, they come into the shows, you know, start looking at you like, what the hell is wrong with these guys? You know, what the hell are they playing? Because some of our songs are, you know, I don't know, I just, you know, like, in one of the songs in the EPs, it's kind of like authentic type of thing, so it has like the oriental spirit and everything. So we had actually a new song that we were working on, and we played it in the last two or three shows. And then I would call them shows, it's just small little gigs, but it's, you know, still. And people would be like, when we start this song, which it starts really mellow, and then people look at it like, what the hell are these guys thinking? But, you know, once the song picks up, then they go, you know, start, because it gets, you know, gets heavier and faster every bar, every bit, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
So people pick it up and then get adopted and, you know, have the great feeling of the music and the lyrics and also the band, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like any other band, you know, like, you might get on stage and then look at the people and then look at their faces and they look, like, mean to you. Like, hey, what the hell are you doing up there?
That's,
you know?
Yeah.
which is kind of like normal.
I can believe that, you know, because that's just it's just a perception of, you know, your people and where you came from, instead of thinking, hey, this is something different. You know, this is, like I said earlier, this is about the music. It has nothing to do with about culture and that. This is about music.
No,
man.
I mean, seriously, like, we never, like, especially on stage, we never been treated as a foreign guy.
Yeah.
And this is the great, I'm telling you, the metal community is so great. This is one of the reasons why we love this music, why we love the people of metal, you know, because it's solid, it's true, and it's all about the music, it's all about the reality of everything. It's not about, you know, who you are, where you're from, what's your background, what's all around you, what's your life. It doesn't all matter to them. You know, it doesn't matter to anybody. All that matters is what you sound like.
Mm-hmm.
Are you good? Welcome to the community. You
know
what I mean?
That's it, yep.
That's it.
When you played in Iraq, what was the reception like there from the local people that aren't used to metal?
Well, you know, like, actually before the war, we had, you know, like, people who wouldn't understand what you're doing, they would just go away from you. And then, so we never had, like, issues, like, in a certain way. But after the war, when things got worse, and then there was, like, you know, like, no law, no whatever. So, you know, there's some people that start acting in crazy ways, and, you know, like, threatening you, whatever. And telling you, like, you know, like, be playing the devil music. It's the same way, like, let's say the I believe maybe in the States in the 60s or something, you know, like Jimi Hendrix, before even that, it's everybody thinking of the music as just the devil music and nobody should listen to it. And rock and roll is, even rock and roll is, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like that's the highway to hell to listen to.
Right. Yeah, I was wondering about that because I know that some of the religious fanatics out there in the areas in, like, Baghdad and stuff like that, they could really, like, give you guys a rough road to hoe over the music, and I was just curious what that was like over there.
I mean, what that look like, that's why we are here. But the great thing is since we left, you know, we got, like, now, I look at my Facebook page and I got, like, thousands of people, you know, like, from Iraq, you know, friends and fans for the band and you know, metal, you know, like, warriors, I would call them, because, you know what I mean? It's going through all of this life, you know, going there. I mean, down there, they live day by day with. It's very hard. It's just, you know, it's like, I mean, it's not just living with your own fears. It's just, I mean, you were hanging down the rope, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's really hard to describe. I mean, you wouldn't know what it is until you live that moment, you know what I mean?
Now, we had a question from Brad Octane. Out there, he asked, "What kind of amplification did they have over in Iraq that you couldn't, you know, find? That you, all right, let's put it in another way. Since you come to the States, did you find that there was more for amplifiers and effects and things like that for guitars that you couldn't find in Iraq?"
Of course, you know, like all the stuff that we had in Iraq. I mean, it was like. Because Iraq kind of, like, was split up from the world in the 90s, pretty much. So we had everything else pretty much to the 90s, except, you know, whatever people bring, which is 1, 2, 3 pieces of equipment whenever they could travel in and out the country. And that would be, you know, like, certain people that would do it, you know what I mean?
So it was
kind of like
a black market of amplification brought in from the States or from Great Britain or wherever?
Yeah, you know, like, it doesn't have to be, it might be made in China. It's just whatever it is they could bring in, and then we could, you know, put our hands on and start using. But most of the stuff that we had, which is actually, it's kind of funny, but I think it's a great, like, piece of equipment that's, like, made in 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, some between that period.
Right, like the Marshall equipment?
Yeah, the Marshall equipment, you know, like, tube amplifier, you turn it on, you wait, like, 20, 30 minutes for it to warm up, and then, but this sounds rocking, you know, like, you need to listen to it, and it sounds really, really great. Sometimes it feels, like, better than what we have in days, but it's kind of crazy, but in some way it is.
Now, what's your favorite gear to use?
For what?
Like guitars and amplifiers and stuff like that. What's your favorite stuff to use?
Well, you know, like PV and you know, PV and Ampeg. That would be my favorite amplifier set. You know, in the meantime, I'm using a PV bass, and I'm using a Yamaha, and I like Yamaha. I've been using Yamaha since I was in Iraq, and I've been using a couple other brands. But most likely, it's just like I like Yamaha and PV because of the way the fingerboard's set up and everything, which is kind of like suitable for me. I mean, I like it. I have big fingers, and I need big fingerboards, so that's what it is.
I got a question here. On your EP, what is your favorite song that you put together on there?
My favorite or everybody's favorite?
Your favorite.
My favorite is The Unknown.
The Unknown? Why is that?
I don't know. It's just the fast start of it is just, you know, like, it goes in, you know, like, I don't know. It's like fast introduction. It doesn't have even introduction. It's 1, 2, 3, and then goes in, and that's the way I like it. What? I like, you know, like to be fast and loud and get into the subject. You know what I mean?
What's the?
delay pleasure or anything. Just get in there.
For everybody who's tuning in right now, we have Fierce from the band Across the. That's such a tongue twister name. Across the Quada, right?
Did I say that right? Coda.
I was close. You know, I practiced that one from the time I first saw the movie all the way to this morning, and I was like, I still couldn't get it. It was just a damn tongue twister.
He's been practicing it wrong the whole time.
It's a scientific term, as I said it again, and said it so many times in the movie. It's a scientific term, and it's a dot. Karachi Kota, which is A, the class, and then a Karachi Kota, which is the type or the world of the species, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
So, I stole one of my dad's books, so my dad is a vet, so, you know, imagine.
let's see here. We're getting ready to wind this up here, but yeah, I'm gonna play The Unknown after we're done talking here, and so want to let people know what the song's about so they listen to it, they get a better vibe of the song.
You know, I mean, listen to the lyrics. I mean, every song that we have, if you listen to the lyrics, you would feel what we feel. It's just like, I don't know. We put in our feelings. I mean, music wise and lyrics wise and everything, we put in every song. But basically, it's speaking about living through. I mean, going through all what we've been through, and living through this mean time world, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically this is the basic idea for the song. But you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't have any words to describe it more than that. You know what I mean? For me, it's my life. So I can't really.
No,
I live it, but I can't really explain it to somebody in a couple of words. You know what I mean?
I gotcha.
In regards to Unknown, is that kind of the feeling the whole band had in getting out of Iraq and going into the unknown?
Say again. I'm sorry.
I said, as far as Unknown is concerned, is that like the feeling that the whole band had about getting out of Iraq and going somewhere that you don't know anybody or anything or anywhere?
Yeah. This is the way it happens in the bad. I mean, we do what we feel, and we play what we feel. We write what we feel. So we don't write the stuff that we. I mean, everything is in there. It's from our hearts. You know what I mean? It's unless you know. I mean, we had some times that we have to go low profile in Baghdad, but other than these times, everything of this band played was from its heart and what they're going through their daily life, because this is what we talk about. We don't talk about, I mean, no offense, but we don't talk about, like, flying dragons and stuff like that, but, you know, or talking about the crazy stuff. It's just we talk about our life, our real life, and what we'll be going through. You know what I mean?
Now, in your growing up there in Iraq, who was your biggest metal or classic rock influence that you can think of? And either just the one musician who touched your life the most or the band that touched your life the most?
Well, the musicians are touched my life. I look up to, and I would like to be like them, you know. It would be like I don't know. I mean, when I started, you know, like it's every time it changes, because basically, you know, the more you go like through, the more knowledge you gain, the more your eyes become open, and then you start looking up to other people. You know what I mean? Because you're evolving. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like musically and all that. And but basically, you know, like every band, you know, every metalhead dreams and stuff. The first thing they would listen to is Metallica, and you know, and kind of like related to Metallica, they had their own rough times starting up. You know, again, like when they back in the '80s when they started. And it's kind of like, you know, like you feel like, oh, yeah, you know, like everybody had a rough time. And they had a rough time. We had a rough time. But they didn't give up, you know. And we shouldn't give up. And nobody should give up. And going on, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And just like I said again, it's for each one of the band members, we had like, but mostly, like, you know, Metallica, Slayer, Testament, you know, like Megadeth, Overkill. I mean, a long list of bands, you know, of influence and ideas, and basically, we look up to all of great metal bands that we. You know, like everybody, like just like any everybody else, you know, like we had our idols and we had our people that we look up to, and then
where would you?
We're not trying to be like them, but we're trying to achieve at least of a tiny bit of what they achieve.
Now, where would you rate Cliff Burton as far as importance to you personally as a bass player?
I'm sorry, say again.
Where would you rate Cliff Burton as far as importance to you as a bass player and shaping how you play and stuff like that?
Well, he's a master, but I mean, I like his, you know, I like his style, I mean, musically and everything. But it's just that I would look up. I mean, I never looked up to Cliff. I'd look up to some like Billy Sheehan.
Okay.
And you know, I mean, I don't know, it's complicated, but you know, like when you, it's every time you, I said every time you evolve, like in the beginning, you know, like everything, you just go like, oh, this is what I want to be, and then you learn more, and then you expand your knowledge, and then you go like, oh no, you know, this is great, but you know, like, let's move on to the next thing, and then you move on.
Right.
It's kind of like you're still kind of like exploring your own path, pretty much in the music. So it's really hard to say, like, wow, I have one person to look up to. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I was kind of getting at where he, where Cliff Burton was. As I mean, you've mentioned Metallica a few times.
Yeah.
I was just wondering where Cliff Burton rated for you as an influence.
He's a great, you know, going through the early stuff from Metallica and Cliff Burton, you know, like, rest in peace, was alive and he was performing and his solos and all that, going through that stuff, it's pretty amazing. You know, at that time, he's rocking, you know.
Right.
This guy is a legend, so. I mean, you know, I look up to him, but I have, like, he would be one of my, on my list to look up, yeah, like, the people that I look up to, but there's more people that I look up to, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Hey, Fierce, man, we're gonna cut it now, man, but I wanna thank you very much for being on the show, but, couple things real quick, how can people get a hold of your music?
Well, we have the EP, it's all over the place, pretty much. And I guess now you can download it even for free. You know, all over the internet now. It's never about the money, but to be realistic. So.
You have a website?
We have the band, you know, like, we have the band Facebook and MySpace and all that stuff. We don't have an official website for the band yet. We've been working on that, you know, for a while, and hopefully we get something that we, I mean, we set up something for, you know, the fans and all that. But basically, we, you know, like, you can catch us on MySpace or Facebook, or just write the band name. The EP is available all over the internet, like Amazon, iTunes, and other stuff. You can get it also from the Vice Record website, and that's as far as I know.
Okay.
Can you do a promo ID for us? To say your name, the band. Can you do a promo ID for us? To say your name, the band you're with. Say you're listening to Maximum Threshold, and throw something crazy out at the end.
Sure. My name is Ferris. I play with Akrasi Koda. I'm the bass player for the band Akrasi Koda. From Iraq, heavy metal in Baghdad, and you listen to Thrash Max and Metal Up Your Asses.
That was great. Fierce, hey, I want to thank you very much, you know, for being on the show tonight and, you know, just spend some time with us talking metal and the band and the documentary and everything. I mean, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Well, I appreciate it, you know, having that privilege to be with you on air and, you know, going through this interview, and hopefully we get the real meet you in real life.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I want to see you guys come through Cleveland. Like I said previously when I talked to you off air, you know, if you set up your tour and stuff, man, I'll try to hook you up with something out here in our area.
Okay, well, hopefully that, you know, we get on, as I said, is just right now we deal with management issues and stuff like that. So hopefully we get into with the right people hooked up, and then we start move on from there, and hopefully we'll be on the road soon. I mean, in the meantime, we're thinking about this band, you know, just having a break for a few months, just to, you know, like, see what we were going.
Yeah.
Because the past few years was really so overwhelming and so like frustrating and you know, like, everything just mixed together. So right now we're trying to kind of, like, focus and get more settled and then focus on what we want to do with the band. I mean, with the band, it's not music, but I mean, you know, we're doing musically, but just with the band, just focus on what we're going to do with that.
I gotcha. Okay, Fierce, hey, I want to thank you again for being on, and everybody in the chat room there thanks you also, and all the listeners out there, and anything we could do to help you promote your music or whatever you got going on, man, just let me know, man. We're here to help you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. I mean, I appreciate it, really, you know. And, you know, I just want to say hi to all the people that listen to the show you know, just keep rocking and you know, hopefully you're going to listen to music. Hopefully you like it. And if you do so, just hit us with an email.
Sounds good.
And hopefully we'll be in your town, you know, sometime.
Okay, have a good one there, Ferris.
You too. Have a good one.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And there you have it. That was Ferris from Across the Cotta. You knew I was going to screw that up.
Oh, dude, just give it up, man.
Okay, here's the unknown here on Max and Thresh. I'll be back after this.
You have just listened to an exclusive interview on Maximum Threshold. Be sure to tune in to the Maximum Threshold radio show every Saturday night from 8 till 11 p.m. Eastern at MaximumThreshold.net.